chapter 10. And we'll read the first six verses to get started this evening. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. These first six verses, we find the true and false shepherds contrasted by the Lord Jesus. The occasion and setting of Christ's discourse in John chapter 10 is absolutely essential to understanding the meaning of the whole chapter. Jesus had just healed a man who had been born blind from birth. And as a result, the Pharisees did everything they could to discredit the miracle by questioning the man and his parents. And they wrongly accused Jesus of violating the Sabbath day. Ultimately, the Pharisees, frustrated by the bold testimony of the beggar, excommunicated him from the synagogue. The Pharisees set themselves up as the religious guides of Israel. They assumed that they were the only ones enlightened enough to lead the people in the Scriptures. Jesus shocked them by proclaiming them to be blind guides who were unable to see their own sin or their need of the Savior. Now, in light of those facts, Jesus shows the difference between himself and the false teachers among the Jews. Jesus proclaims himself to be the door, the way of entrance into the presence and the family of God in verses 7 through 10. And he also contrasts that with the Pharisees who were blocking the way to God. John chapter 10 reveals Jesus as the shepherd of his people. And it is probably revealed with its greatest clarity anywhere in Scripture right here that he is the good shepherd. Now, verses 1 through 6, we have the true and the false shepherds contrasted. In verse 1, Jesus sets forth the truth about false shepherds who assume authority over sheep in a manner that God has not appointed, allowed, or ordained. Again, he uses the statement that he uses to really enforce a teaching. Verily, verily. It's like, I want you to be doubly aware of this truth. I want you to see what I'm talking about in this parable. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He uses the similitude of a sheepfold in order to illustrate the point he was making. Now, in Palestine, sheepfolds were large, walled structures without any roof. They were primarily used as a means of protection and rest for the sheep at night. Now, they had only one door of entrance, and they were large enough to accommodate several flocks of sheep. So if you can picture in your mind, at the end of the day, you'd have a shepherd with his flock of sheep, and he would come to the sheepfold in the evening, and he would lead his sheep, go through the door, lead his sheep into the sheepfold, and that's where they would be. They would rest and find protection for the night. They would leave them under the charge of a porter, somebody who watched the door. Now the following morning, each shepherd would then return to the sheepfold, knock and enter the door, and lead his flock of sheep out to pasture for the day. Now, it's hard for us who have never tended any sheep to really conceive of how this all works. When Jesus was speaking these words, the Jews were very familiar with it. They were an agrarian society. John MacArthur said, throughout Israel's history, shepherding had always been a familiar part of everyday agrarian life. And the people all knew that sheep are the most helpless, defenseless, straying, and dirty of animals. They require constant oversight, leading, rescue, and cleaning, or they will die. Being a shepherd was good training for leading people. Now Jesus charges the Pharisees with being thieves and robbers, because instead of entering into the sheepfold through the door that God had appointed, they presumed to take control of the sheep in another manner, usurping God's authority. The Pharisees were not authorized by God to lead the sheep. They did not have access to God's appointed way into the sheepfold. And Jesus is saying, you're trying to get access to the sheep in a way that's not appointed. You're climbing up over, you're going up some other way, and because of that, you're to be regarded as a thief and a robber. They sought to steal away and to do violence to the sheep by climbing the walls of the sheepfold instead of entering the door. Jesus was pointing out that the Pharisees sought to do the sheep much harm in the same way thieves and robbers do. They were false shepherds. They had no real concern for the sheep, but rather they sought their own profit. They took advantage of the defenseless and timid sheep by seeking to control and intimidate them. And that's what they did. They used their religious position to control, to intimidate, to badger the religious people of their day. And that's true of all false teachers who try to gain control of God's people through unlawful means. Listen, if a man who claims to be called of God is manipulative, if he is a dictator, if he is trying to control people rather than teach them, feed them, lead them, he's false. He's wrong. And Jesus is exposing them. You see, false teachers are not concerned for the welfare of God's sheep, but they have their own selfish interests in mind. The Pharisees were interested in exercising control, legalistic control over people's lives. Now, there are so many scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, that warn, that God raised up prophets to warn against the false shepherds who would come. Let me read some of them to you. Isaiah 56, verses 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. That's a false shepherd. Jeremiah especially warned of false shepherds. In chapter 10 and verse 21, "For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." Chapter 12 and verse 10, "Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness." Chapter 50 and verse 6 of Jeremiah, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." And Jeremiah also promised the certain judgment upon all false pastors and all false shepherds in chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, where he says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." Jeremiah 23, 1 and 2. Why do I bring all those in? Well, if you're just reading the New Testament, you read John chapter 10, and you have no frame of reference of the warnings of false shepherds, false pastors in the Old Testament, you won't get the parable. You won't get the primary teaching that Jesus is bringing into their view. By the time he talks to them about those who tried to climb up another way, I believe that the Pharisees had to know that he was exposing them as frauds, yet they would never admit it, and they didn't understand it. They didn't understand why he would be applying this parable to them. And that's the way a lot of false teachers are. They think they're sincere in the way that they dominate, dictate, control, and lead people. They think they're absolutely within their rights. But if they're not doing it God's way, it doesn't make it right. Now, by way of contrast, he tells us in verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The true shepherd enters into the sheepfold through the door. Jesus is the true and ultimate shepherd who came unto the sheep through God's appointed means. He came in God's way, in God's time. He came through the tribe of Judah, the tribe that God had appointed the Messiah to come through. He presented himself to Israel precisely in the way in which God had ordained, in the manner the prophets had foretold. And he's telling them that a true shepherd would never think of entering into the sheepfold except through the customary and the accepted way, by entering in the door guarded by the porter. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now, since the porter knew the shepherd and his flock, there'd be no need for him to climb up the walls of the sheepfold to gain entrance, because the porter recognized him as valid. The true shepherd gains entrance into the sheepfold by permission of the porter, who opens the door unto him. The sheep then hear the voice of their shepherd, who calls them by name and who leads them out. Jesus would enlarge on that in verse 27, where he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, the figure set forth in John 10:3 is striking. Jesus Christ is the shepherd who calls his elect sheep, whom the Father had given him before the foundation of the world. These are sheep that he has purchased with his own blood, and he knows them by divine appointment. He knows them by name, and he calls them through the effectual call. And all of God's elect, all of his sheep, recognize the voice of the shepherd, the appointed Christ, and they follow him as he leads them out of the sheepfold into the rich pastures of communion and fellowship with God. God's elect are called Christ's own sheep. Why? They're his by way of purchase. He purchased them with his own blood. They are owned by him. When a shepherd transacted for sheep, he didn't pay a price and hope to get one or two sheep. He paid a specific price for a specific number. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross. He knows all of his sheep by name, and he knows every one that he paid for. They're his. They belong to him. That's why he calls his own sheep by name. And then he leads them out. Every one of Christ's sheep will ultimately hear his voice and follow where he leads them. Which is why Jesus could say with such confidence in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." It's why Jesus said in verse 16, "And other sheep I have, they belong to me already. The Father gave them to me before the world began. I'm going to the cross to die in their place. They're mine. They're blood bought. They're going to be redeemed. I have them. I own them. Which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." It's the Father's will that I bring them. It is my will as the shepherd to rescue them, to call them out, to lead them, and to take them all the way to glory. I must bring them in order to fulfill the work that I've been given. "And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Jesus Christ, make no mistake about it, he knew who his sheep were, and he knew that he was going to be successful in redeeming and calling them, and that they were going to follow him. Now, a prime example of this was in the calling and the healing of the once blind beggar in John chapter 9. The beggar heard the voice of Christ. He submitted to him by faith, and he followed him. And even though the Pharisees tried to intimidate him, he would not follow their voice. He would not follow them. And I think that's a powerful testimony to God's sheep. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. When Christ calls his sheep out of the sheepfold, they follow him, they recognize his voice. This was true in Christ's call of Matthew, in Matthew 9:9, and Zacchaeus, Luke 19:5. And I've always been amazed, especially at the call of Zacchaeus. They had never met. They did not know each other. They had no acquaintance one with another. But Jesus came right to where Zacchaeus was and called him by name, commanded him to come down and to follow him. You see, when Christ calls, his sheep do exactly what he says. They don't hang on to the pew till their knuckles are white. They don't have to pray through or hang on. There's no resistance. There is nothing but submission to the voice and the power of the shepherd. Now notice also that Jesus Christ does not drive his sheep from behind, but rather he goes before them to protect them from harm and to lead them in a way that's right. Our Lord went before his sheep in the way of suffering by enduring the wrath that they deserved by dying in their stead on the cross. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, not only made a way for the sheep to gain eternal life, he also leads them in the way of righteousness. And I believe that David in Psalm 23 was talking about Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me into green pastures. David knew the Lord Jesus personally by way of faith, by way of the coming of Messiah. Jesus Christ, when he calls his sheep in effectual power to salvation, they recognize his voice, they follow him in the way. And this is an irresistible call. It's an invincible call. Now, what's true concerning Christ as the Good Shepherd and his sheep can be applied to his under-shepherds. And this is one way that you can identify, it enables God's people to identify true teachers and true pastors of the Word of God. And I can't do any better than A.W. Pink. He had some great observations applying these verses to the under-shepherds of Christ. He said this, first, a true under-shepherd of Christ is one who gains access to the sheep in the divinely appointed way. Unlike the Pharisees, he does not intrude himself into this sacred office, but is called to it by God. Every true pastor must be called of God. Secondly, he is, in the real meaning of the word, a shepherd of the sheep. He has their welfare at heart and ever concerns himself with their interests. The shepherd was always concerned about the sheep and caring for them, feeding them, cleaning them, leading them. And that's the way a pastor ought to be. Thirdly, to such a one the porter openeth. The Holy Spirit sets before him an open door for ministry and service. Fourth, the sheep hear his voice. The elect of God recognize him as a divinely appointed pastor. Fifth, he calleth his own sheep by name. That portion of the flock over which God has made him overseer are known to him individually. By the way, Pink must have wrote that when he still believed in local church, because that's the application. Do you realize if there was such a thing as a universal invisible church, how would the pastor know all the sheep? He wouldn't. Sixth, he leadeth them out into the green pastures of God's Word, where they may find food and rest. Seventh, he goeth before them. He sets before them a godly example, asking them to do nothing which he is not doing himself. He seeks to be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, by way of contrast, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Christ's sheep will not follow the voice of strangers. Rather, they'll flee from them. And this is made abundantly clear in John chapter 9. Again, the once blind beggar refused to hearken to the voice of the Pharisees, but he willingly followed the voice of the Lord Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean that God's elect cannot sometimes be deceived by the voice of false teachers and doctrines. It does mean, however, that Christ's true sheep will not absolutely, unreservedly, completely give themselves over to a false teacher. You've got to beware of people who go off into some harebrained doctrinal scheme. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that it may be manifest that they are not all of us. Even a babe in Christ has a measure of discernment given by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables him to detect heresy and flee from it. I'm going to give you, this is a personal example in my own life. The day that I was saved, all right, I told my parents. I went down and witnessed to Kevin Hamilton. I knew I wasn't going back to Wilmington that night. I didn't even know they had. I thought people, when people went to church, they went on Sunday morning, that was it. Schmoes. Sunday morning only. That's all I thought. Well, I thought, well, the Branch Hill Church of Christ, they've got services on Sunday night, and that's not too far. I said, now that I'm going to go to the Branch Hill Church of Christ tonight. And I went there, and it just so happened that they were having youth night. There was a girl that was speaking out, I mean, during, and I just know nothing. I just been saved. And then the kid that was, the teenager that was supposed to be preaching, was preaching with a hat on. I had never even read 1 Corinthians 11. But I knew something wasn't right. And what he said didn't line up with what I knew already. And I believe that it was God protecting me from going back into that mess. I'll never forget the Campbellite preacher after I got really rabid as a Baptist. I mean, I was just as zealous as a guy could get, and I was refuting Campbellism everywhere I saw it. I had a book I carried around by Bob Ross on Campbellism. It's History and Doctrine. It's a little book. I read that thing from cover to cover. I knew what Campbellism was. And my mother got a hold of that book. She saw what it was about. She called the preacher. Now, I can't ever remember the preacher coming to our house. When I was 12 years old, I went up and got baptized. Hardly ever went to church, but I got up there and got baptized, and they started singing, "Now He Belongs to Jesus." You know, I wasn't saved. I lived like the devil. Not one time did they ever visit me or call me or exhort me. Rarely went to church. But after I was saved, that's when they show up. When they realize that I am now a fire-breathing Baptist. Oh, that I'll never forget that poor little old Campbellite preacher. He was shorter than me, too. And I just told him, I said, "You know, I don't think what you're teaching is right. I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, plus nothing, minus nothing. That it's not by any works, but it's only through what Jesus Christ did for me. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that was buried. He's the one that rose again. And I'm trusting completely in Him. That's why I'll never come to your church again." He didn't like that. Well, that was God protecting me that very first day that I was saved. And then later on, as I grew and I understood. Now notice verse 6, and we'll close with this. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them." He's exposing them as frauds. But they were unable to understand or perceive the truth that Jesus was setting forth in the parable that He had spoken unto them. These false shepherds had no real spiritual discernment. Their eyes were blinded from the plain truths that Christ had set forth. And that's the condition of every lost man. Until God is pleased to open the eyes of his understanding through the enlightening power of the Holy Spirit. There are things that you believe, that you understand, that you take for granted. And you think everybody believes it. Things that are so elementary, like salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So plain, so simple, so direct. And yet there are multitudes of people that believe you can go some other way, that you can go to heaven through some other system. Entire religions are built on it that are in complete opposition to what Jesus taught. If you see it, if you believe it, you better thank God for it. And don't take that for granted. Let's all stand.